Amen. Good service already. Praise the Lord. Amen. As a boy, preachers used to get up and say, well, we just give an invitation right now. God's been so good. And as a young man sitting in the back, I'd say, do it, brother, do it. And they never would. You know, they'd always preach, you know, say, praise the Lord. Amen. Turn your Bibles, if you would, two places. First of all, turn to Proverbs chapter 3, right there towards the middle of your Bible. Proverbs chapter 3. And mark that. As soon as you get that, just Proverbs 3, throw something in there to mark it, your Bible ribbon or something maybe. And then we're going to start in 1 Timothy chapter 4. And we're going to go full speed today. We don't have a whole lot of time here this morning. You all are smelling. How many smelling the food already? All right, I'm not dumb. I preached before, okay? Smell food. I got to go quick. I know that. Amen. So we'll move right along today. So Proverbs chapter 3, you're going to mark that, and then you're going to turn to our text over in 1 Timothy chapter 4 this morning. When you found 1 Timothy chapter 4, would you stand with me this morning? 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Over in the New Testament, praise the Lord. Looks like most everybody's about got it there. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. Can we stop there? Are we in the latter times, would you guess?
Amen.
I'd say so. In the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devil, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Basically, we see here that in the latter times some things are going to happen. Amen. And it's a sign of those latter times. And then just jump down to verse 6. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine whereunto thou hast attained. Today we're going to look at these three verses and preach on those this morning. And the Bible says that if I will put the brethren in mind of these things, that I'd be a good minister. And I certainly want to be that today. So we're going to put us all in remembrance of these things that are going to take place in the latter times and what we must do as Christians to deal with these end times, these latter times that we are now experiencing. Let's pray and then we'll be seated this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank You, God, for the goodness that You show to us in small ways and great. The safe travels here today. Lord, for this wonderful church that You've raised up here in this community, for Pastor Mark and his family, God, that You've used them to continue this work that Brother Roland and his wife have began. And we just pray You'd bless in a special way today. God, we know that You're here with us because You've promised so. We know the power's in Your Word, not in me. And so, God, we just pray You do a good work today. Touch our hearts, draw us close to Thee. And we ask these things in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you. May be seated today. Many years ago, when I was a youth pastor up in the Midwest, I used to take the teenagers on a trip every year. It's one of their favorite trips. You kind of run across these things as a youth pastor that kids like to do, and they want you to do it every week, if you would. So you put that on your annual calendar, and as a youth pastor, makes things pretty easy. Brother Mark, you know what I'm talking about, amen? And so this was one of those, and we would go to a place called McCormick's Creek State Park. It's about an hour and a half drive south of Indianapolis, and northern Indiana, if you're familiar with that, it's just flat, plain farming land, just for miles and miles from Indianapolis all the way up to South Bend, Fort Wayne, Chicago, straight flat land. As you travel south of Indianapolis, you start getting into rolling area, what you would think maybe Kentucky, Tennessee might be made up of, and that's where this was located at. One of the things the teenagers like to do there at McCormick's Creek State Park, we'd have field games, go on hikes and all sorts of things, but about a 2-mile hike at the back of about a 4-mile hike, about 2 miles in the back part of this hike, right where it made a loop and started making your way back, there was an area there called Wolf Cave. And Wolf Cave was just a kind of a washout through a large hill that made a cave. It was basically a solid rock cave, fairly solid floor, little bit of water running through it, not much, and over the years it had formed a cave, and you'd come in up on the top side of the hill and kind of walk down in it, and you'd come out on the bottom side of that hill. Oh, and it took you maybe about 15 minutes or so to get through it. And there were some things about Wolf Cave it was dark. Once you got in there, I mean, it was dark. You couldn't see your hand in front of your face. And the first time that I went through there, with the teenagers as a youth pastor. I'd never been through there before. I had a group of kids with me. I felt like I needed to kind of forge the way. But I've got one thing, of many oddities about me. One of them is I'm claustrophobic. When I was a younger teenager, I got stuck a car. I was under a car working on it, and a jack fell and it pinned me under there. And from that time forward, I became claustrophobic. I can't stand to be confined. I absolutely will tear the place apart if I get confined. And so this cave came down to very narrow, dark walls, and then sometimes you had to turn sideways and crunch down. And so I got about halfway in that with about 20 teenagers behind me. I couldn't go back. There was no way. Girls in there screaming. I think the boys screaming like little girls and going through that thing. And so, man, that stuff started kicking in, and wow. I noticed some things. The first time I went through that cave, I was very uncomfortable. I mean, that's an understatement, but I can say for sure I was very uncomfortable. Then my mind started wondering about things, and I became fearful of possible dangers. I mean, we're in a cave where it's dark and it's damp and it's wet, and begin to thinking about, you know, snakes, spiders, things that live in those places. You can't see anything. They could be right over your head. All once in a while you'd hit a spider web. So I began to become fearful of the possible dangers around me. And then I realized once we got away from the entrance that you could not see without a light. You couldn't see. It was just pitch dark in that thing. And so we made it through that cave by the grace of God and got through on the other side. We'd taken, I don't know, like I said, a group of teenagers with me, but some of them laid back and didn't go with that first group. That was the smart group, making sure we made it through alive, I think. And so they wanted to go back through again. And once again, I felt obligated to lead them through to make sure they made it through okay. And so I took them through again, and we made a series of trips through that cave, not only that day, but over the years. And I noticed some things happened as I went through that cave a series of times. First of all, where I once was very uncomfortable, I now had become comfortable with going through there. The fear of dangers subsided. Really didn't think about those snakes or possibility of spiders like brown recluse, which are very common up in that area. Didn't think about those anymore. We just went through that and became comfortable with the area. Didn't think about the dangers around me. And I began, even in that cave, after going through it several times, I began to get a false sense of security. Because, see, there was a real possibility that snakes could have been in there, and that area is known to have copperheads, and that's not a good snake to be bitten with. There are brown recluse and black widows and things in those areas. Wouldn't be good. Those dangers were still there, but I had got a false sense of security because I had been there before, and I'd spent some time there. I felt like there was really nothing to be afraid of. And I got to a point that I realized if I spent enough time, the first few times I just wanted to get through that thing. Just wanted to get out of those tight quarters, get out of that situation I was in. But as we got in there and I became more comfortable and I'd spent a little more time there, then I actually began to realize that I could see a little bit even without the light. My eyes got adjusted. My eyes, my body got used to that dark, cool environment. I could actually see a little bit. What happened was I got used to the dark. I got used to the dark. And you see, today, my question for you is this. Have you gotten used to the dark? Have you gotten used to the dark? You see, life situations sometimes are hard to believe that people get themselves into. And maybe even some things that you've been through. I remember several years ago, a 14-year-old girl calling me, who lived down in this area, as a matter of fact. She called on the telephone and shared with me, she found us on the internet and shared with me a little bit of her life, that her dad had an affair on her mother and left the home a couple years prior. She had two older brothers that were dealing drugs out of her home, who mom worked a lot, really had no structure for the home. None of them knew Christ, none of them were in church. And her brothers, it was getting to a point where they were bringing their hoodlum friends in, and she would lock herself in the bedroom, and now they were starting to sneak into the bedroom at night, and she just felt unsafe, unprotected. And so she began looking on the internet and found Hope Children's Home and saw that we were a Christian home. And she had had some little bit of introduction to Christianity early on through, I think, some VBS and things like that in her area. And she didn't understand it all, but she felt like that was something she wanted for her life. And she called me and asked me if she could place herself in Hope Children's Home, a 14-year-old girl calling to see if she could check herself into Hope Children's Home. And I explained to her that we'd have to work with her mom, and if her mom would allow it, we would. And she, Amy ended up coming to Hope Children's Home maybe a month or so after that. And she stayed and graduated from our homes and graduated several years ago and doing good today. What a situation that Amy was in. And I think of children such as Linda. Linda was a young lady who came to our home out of a home that was just drugs were commonplace. And Linda had been in our home for a little while. Wasn't real happy about coming to begin with, but not too much of a problem. And she had gotten saved in our home after she'd been in there for a while. But in between that time, Linda had went home for visiting for a weekend and came back. And we had found that she had brought back a little baggie of marijuana with her. And we currently don't allow that at Hope Children's Home. And so we dealt with that, and we brought Linda in the office to ask her where she had gotten that and what the situation was. And she said she got it from her mom. I said, okay, well, let's give Mom a call then and see what's going on. And so we called Mom on the phone, had there on the speaker phone in my office, my wife and I and Linda. And the dad answered. Dad's name was Gary. Said, Gary, got a situation with Linda here. She's just, you know, came home from visiting yesterday, as you know, and we found in her possessions, we found a little baggie of marijuana. And Gary said, well, where'd she get it? I said, well, same question I asked you. Said she got it from home. He said, no, she couldn't have got it from home. We've been out for a couple of weeks. I said, well, she said that your wife gave it to her. And so he kind of lays the phone aside and hollers off the other room to the wife, Verna. He said, Verna? Said, Linda's in trouble over at Hope. Said she brought some weed back and said she got it from you. But I know we've been out. And Linda told me, she said, Dad, she said, no, she says, Dad, Mom told me not to tell you that she had some. He said, Verna, you got some weed I didn't know about? And Verna said, yeah, I bought some. And I guess Linda got a hold of it. That's a conversation I'm having with parents about their daughter that's in our home. I mean, what in the world have we gotten to? Now, both of these folks, too, by the way, if you bring them in and talk to them, they both can tell you the plan of salvation, tell you the day they accepted Christ as their Savior, do go to church on occasion, but this is the lifestyle they live. And I wonder today, some folks have really gotten used to the dark. Amen? Now, those are some somewhat extreme cases, but my friends, even you and I, if we're not careful, we'll find ourselves getting used to the dark. Let me give you an example. We hardly a week goes by that we don't have some of our American soldiers that are being killed across seas. When's the last time that bothered you to hear that on the news? We get used to the dark, don't we? Do you realize that each and every day, matter of fact, 1,200 little girls a day will give birth out of wedlock? Do you realize that over 1,000 babies per day will be murdered by abortion? You see, we hear these things and they get to a point they really don't have much of an impact on us because we get used to the dark. And there's a lot of different ways that we get used to the dark. And here, as Paul was writing to Timothy, he was trying to prepare him for even some of what he was going to encounter here in chapter 4. And he talked about some things that were going to take place. One of the things he said there, that in latter times some shall depart from the faith. Now we look at that, doesn't mean that folks are going to lose their salvation. That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about people who have been saved, who've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, but have chose to turn away from God. These are believers that have stepped away from God in their life. I'm talking about people that once were Sunday school teachers, that once were deacons, that were once bus workers and choir members and trustees and even preachers that have departed from the faith. And if you've been in ministry in church very long, unfortunately, we can put a face to some of those examples. I certainly can. I hate it, but it's true. And we see that some will depart from the faith. And you see, we ought to look at ourselves and realize that we ought to be always progressing for the Lord. I think our Christian walk should always be progressing. In other words, we ought to be able to mark July of 2009, what we were doing, where we were at, what our walk was with the Lord, and our walk ought to be closer with the Lord now than it was last year. And it ought to be that way in 2011 and 2012. And you might say, well, Brother Mike, I'm serving God with all that I can. I mean, I'm in my Bible, I'm on my knees, and If we're doing that, I believe we're going to be continually progressing. We're going to be involved in more. We're going to be doing more. And maybe just right where God wants us to be, hopefully. What we don't want to become is stagnant. We don't want to become regressive. We don't want to live off of what happened in the past. So many times I'm talking to folks that will say, I used to be. I used to do. And we don't have to have used to be's and used to do's. We can have today's. And even at Hope Children's Home, I don't want to live off the miracles that God's done in the past. And I'm thankful that I don't have to sit up here and tell you that years ago God did this. Or I can remember way back when God did that. I can tell you what happened last week. I can tell you what happened just a few days ago. I can tell you what God's doing in the midst amongst us right now. I can tell you about a little 14-year-old girl, Hannah. How old is Hannah? 14? 14, that stepped in a hole crossing a creek on our property last week and got a big old gouge in her leg and right up to her shin bone. And we took her to the doctor. Doctor didn't do one thing for her. Didn't even physically touch it. And because of that, it got infected. We were supposed to go get x-rays 3 days later, this wound being nasty and had pieces of metal and everything in it, and it just amazes me sometimes. But anyway, God performed a miracle. She had to be admitted to the hospital, had to have surgery on that leg a couple days ago, but she's out and doing good now. That's the latest, one of the latest miracles right there. And so we shouldn't have to live in the past. Things ought to be progressive, and we ought to be able to say that we're serving God with all we have. But we'll see that some depart from the faith. I've had folks and families, especially when I was in the pastorate, that would come into my office for maybe family counseling or marriage counseling, individual counseling, and so often they would say, Brother Mike, I don't know how I got to this point. I don't know how I ever got here where I'm at. How did I get here? What went wrong? Well, the Bible gives some examples here of some things that are going to happen. It says in chapter 4:1, Now the Spirit speaketh expressly in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith. How do they depart from the faith? Here's how he tells us. First of all, giving heed to seducing spirits. Giving heed to seducing spirits. What's that talking about in modern application to here? Well, it can be many things. One, first of all, watching TV shows that we shouldn't be watching. We can actually give heed to seducing spirits. There was a show on there for a while. I don't know if it's on anymore. And sometimes I'll check these things out just as much as you can without defiling yourself, just to see what's going on out there. And I remember tuning into this show months and months, maybe even well over a year ago. And I don't know the name of it, but it was actually a fellow who would kind of draw an audience, and he'd have them sitting around him, and he would be sitting there kind of in an interview style, kind of like Oprah style there with someone. And he would be talking to spirits of someone who's passed on. I don't know, maybe you've heard or seen that show. And he would talk to maybe this lady's husband who had passed on, or this man whose mother had passed on. And even, I think on some occasions, he would supposedly communicate with dead animals that had died and such. And of course, I'm sure there was some money involved in that, and the TV production and all that. Listen, you can watch those things and think it's just entertainment, but guess what? You'll start doubting whether those things are true. Well, how would he know that? He must have been talking to them. Now, I have no doubt he's talking to somebody, you know, but I believe it's the old devil, and he's getting us all caught. And there's things we can do if we're not careful that'll start causing us to give heed to seducing spirits. Some of the programs we have on TV that just shouldn't be watched. We have programs, there's one, again, I don't know if this is still on. It was not too long ago, and I kind of thank God for the name of it. At least they had it right. It was called Queer Eye for the Straight Guy. Isn't that a show right there? I kind of cues you in right there. You probably don't want to watch that one, amen. But it was a show about how these homosexuals would take someone out who was straight and would show them how to dress, amen. Now, it might be good to watch it, Brother Roland, so you can find out how they dress so that we can make sure we dress totally the opposite, amen. So, you know, but these shows can cause you to start having some problems, and then so many times we allow our children to sit around and watch those. Even cartoons, my goodness, you've got to watch those like a hawk. I mean, when I was growing up, it wasn't that big a deal, but we've got a little one that's been in our home that we took in through Hope Children's Home. That she was 18 months old, and now she's been with us. It was 3 years ago this month. She lived in our home with us because she was too little to put in the dormitories when we took her in. And I have to monitor every little cartoon she watches. They just have so much garbage on there. And it's usually a degrading scene of the father, treating the father like he's some baboon idiot, and the mother's running the home. And all, it's just contrary to what the Bible is. And it gives us to start heed to seducing spirits. And I ask, we can watch those things, and we're not careful, we end up with the wrong music. And wow, the internet, what a great tool that is, but what a great tool of the devil it can be also if it's not carefully monitored and watched. And so many men and women have gotten themselves messed up on the internet. I saw a news story yesterday where a lady got on Facebook and found one of her old boyfriends and left her husband and ended up on the news because of some circumstances with that. I mean, what a mess it can be out there. And if we're not careful, we can get used to the dark real quick. And one of the ways is through these seducing spirits. The Bible also says doctrines of devils. Doctrines of devils. And some of these are coming in and through even our churches today. With teaching that we don't need to use the King James Version Bible. And listen, you know, here's the thing. Every Bible translation, there's hundreds of them out there, cannot all be accurate because they contradict each other. And if you'll go back and study and work with your pastor or maybe those who know a little more, you'll find out that King James Version is absolutely the best version that we have out there. It's the inerrant, inspired Word of God. The source is good. I won't get into all that today. I could preach a whole lesson. I used to do actually seminars on that. But my friend, the problem is not that this Bible is outdated because it was written in that Shakespearean language. The problem is we don't use it. See? And the same way that many of the lawmakers will tell you, it's not that we need more laws, we just need to apply the ones we've got. And that's the same thing with God's Word. It's not that we need new versions, we just need to use the one we've got is usually the problem. And so these doctrines of devils will teach us that we need something different than what we have. And then we see that preaching, in many cases, is not as important as the music program. Listen, we're in a lot of different churches. I'm personally in about 100 churches a year. And it's not uncommon, even in our Baptist churches, that the structure of the church, the normal structure, is about 30 to 40 minutes of music and about 10 or 15 minutes of preaching. And I'm serious with that. And it's like the preaching's just kind of slipped in as a token thing. We've really come here to sing today and have a what they're thinking is a worship service, which is really just a praise service. There wasn't any worship in it, really. And so we've gotten the things twisted around, and we see these doctrines of devils have crept in, and it's causing some to depart from the faith. Bible outdated. Preaching is not as important as music. And then doctrine is not as important as long as we have a good fellowship and we all love the Lord. I'm thankful for the Sunday school hour. This church still has a Sunday school hour. Some of the churches don't. Some of them just take it for granted. It's very common. Bobby's out with me to know that we'll go in some churches and Sunday school's supposed to start, say, at 10 o'clock, 9:30, 10 o'clock. We're 15, 20, 30 minutes into it and everybody's still sipping coffee and talking. We haven't even got into a lesson yet. And then after all that's done, a little bit of prayer time, then literally 5 or 10 minutes, basically a daily bread thing will be given and that's it. And then the problem with that is Sunday school is where we can really learn some doctrines and learn what the Bible teaches. You see, Pastor Mark has a great responsibility when he gets up on Sunday morning to preach during this hour because God has laid a message on his heart that he needs to get across to all people, believers and non-believers. And so he has this awesome responsibility riding on him, and he doesn't always have the opportunity to teach doctrine during that worship hour. Sunday school is a great time for that, where you can go through some series and talk about how to raise a family based on the Bible. You can talk about some Bible doctrines. What's baptism? Why church attendance? Why should you tithe? And some of those things. And they're incorporated in the preaching as well. But we see some departing from the faith because the churches have not put the importance on doctrine, and therefore they don't know why they believe what they believe. And so when a Jehovah's Witness comes and knocks on their door, or someone of a false faith, they don't know how to deal with it. And before you know it, Brother Mark hasn't seen him in church for a few weeks, and it's not going to happen here because you all teach doctrine right, but a pastor drops by to see where they've been and they're in another church of false doctrine, see? Because they haven't been taught properly. And I'm just sharing with you what Paul said, Timothy, some are going to depart from the faith for some various reasons, and one of them is they're going to believe in doctrines of devils. And then we don't hear preaching on sin like we used to. My goodness, Billy Sunday used to come in and preach on sin so strong that the ladies of the night would quit doing what they're doing, the beer taverns would close down, and we're not seeing that quite like we used to today, and we're just not preaching on sin many times like we ought to. And so because of this watered-down mess many of our churches are in, we're seeing folks departing from the faith. They're not getting lost. They're not losing their salvation. They're getting unproductive for God, see? And once you're saved, you're always saved. You're sealed until the day of redemption. But my friend, if me or you are saved and God and the devil can get us caught over here somewhere where we shouldn't be all mixed up, we become unproductive for the Lord. And we're not accomplishing what He had accomplished. I'm thankful for Bethel Baptist Church and for churches like this that stand upon God's Word. And we're not here for a bunch of fluff, a bunch of feel-goodism that would get us all... And Brother Mark and this church could emulate that. We could have all kinds of music that would prompt that and everything else. But my friend, Monday morning when you hit the ground running out here, the kids going to school or you going back to work and the world all over you, it fades about as quick as it comes on. You see, but God's Word, when it's preached and it comes and burns into our heart like a sword, that'll carry with us through the week. And then we're in God's Word. But we see some will depart with doctrines of devils. And I want to know, have we gotten used to the dark? And then sometimes the church gets upset with the pastor if he preaches on some of these things and stands up and tells you the right Word of God to use and stands up and preaches against sin and what's immoral and what's wrong. But the Bible says here in verse 6 that He's a good minister if He puts the brethren in remembrance of these things. You see, it's His and our obligation. It's a much, much better to get up and preach some flowery sermon. Believe me, it is, you know. But God lays upon the man of God's heart what He has to preach. Another doctrine the devil we're seeing out there today is that we can't have revival today. But we can have revival today. And I'm thankful for that. And one of the ways we can have revival today is the very thing that Brother Roland and his wife are doing, going out across America and starting churches and getting men of God that are excited about the ministry and excited about seeing people saved and getting these works begun and getting these churches off the ground. That's what's going to take revival, getting folks into those churches. And by the way, revival always begins with God's people. Doesn't begin by getting the lost in. That's a result of revival. Revival begins by you and me getting excited about the things of God, and we get so excited that it becomes contagious, and people come walking in the door of this community center just to see what's going on because they're hearing about this excitement over at Bethel Baptist Church. You see, there's doctrines of devils. Flip over to Proverbs chapter 3, and we'll close this morning. Proverbs chapter 3, where you've got your place marked. Proverbs chapter 3. Now maybe you find today, and God's beginning to reveal to you or has revealed to you that maybe you've even gotten a little used to the dark. And there's some areas in your life, maybe personally or as a husband or wife, maybe your devotions have been slipping. Maybe your church attendance has not been what it ought to be. Are you here on Sunday night and Wednesday night and visitation or whatever the programs of the church has? And I believe our family schedule ought to be built around the church, not vice versa. And maybe you found that maybe you're getting used to the dark. And it's so easy to do. So easy to get used to those things on TV or the radio or different things. Before we know it, God has to somehow bring that to our attention. Well, how do you get out of the dark and how do you stay out of the dark? I believe we find it here in Proverbs chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. The Bible says, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For the length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not on thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths." How do we get out or stay out of the dark? Number one, we give God our heart. Give God our heart. You know, most, especially young people that I deal with, when they have these areas in their life where they've kind of gotten used to the dark, it's usually not a head problem, it's a heart problem. They know the right thing to do, it's their heart's not in the right spot. And the Bible says here that we need to give God your heart. And you know what? You can't perform a duty properly. You can't perform something properly unless your whole heart's in it. In other words, I can tell a young person, "I need you to go on there in the dining hall and I need you to sweep that floor and I want it to be a good job and don't you dare say it's done until it's done right." And they'll go in there and maybe I've caught them in the middle of their playtime or something. They'll go in there and they will sweep the floor and they'll get it done and it'll probably be done right. But you know what? If they were just sitting around, they looked at the floor and they said, "Boy, this needs to be swept. You know what? I'm going to be a blessing to Pastor Mike and I'm going to sweep this floor." They'll do a much better job. They'll do much better. They'll whistle while they work and have a smile on their face because they're doing it with their heart. And we're the same way. When we give our heart to God, the things of God don't become drudgery to us. It's something we desire to do, and we'll do a much better job at it. But you know, it's not enough to give God your heart. The Bible says there, He says also we need to give God more than that. We need to give God our all. We see there in verse 5, the Bible says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart." All thine heart. See, not just giving God our heart, but giving God all of our heart. Number two, we see not only give God all of our heart, but in verse 6 it says, "In all thy ways." So not only do we give God all of our heart, we give Him all of our ways. And then in verse 9, the Bible says, "Honor the Lord with thy substance." So we need to give God all of our heart, all of our ways, and all that we have. And my brother and sister, when you are willing to do that, you'll experience a whole new level. A whole new level of serving God. When you'll give Him all of your heart, all of your ways, and everything you have, you'll experience a whole new level. You'll experience something that you've never experienced in your life. And God doesn't always require that of us. We just have to be willing to give of it. We see also here today that not only do we need to give God all of us, we need to give God our heart and all of us, we need to give God His way and not our way. So many times we try to work things out on our own and we don't let God have His way. The Bible says, "Lean not unto thine own understanding." Well, sometimes we've got it all figured out, don't we? We get it all, and I'm one of those people, I have to fight that. I like to have everything down on paper, everything organized, just how it needs to go and how things need to work. And if I'm not careful, I'll get it so figured out that I don't even need God to energize. I'm just kind of a stamp of approval. "Here, God, I've got everything we need, just how we need. I've got it all organized. Could you go ahead and put your stamp of approval on that, God?" You know, it's not the way it works, you see. God needs to be in on the beginning of it. "God, I've got a situation. God, I've got something I need to accomplish. God, I've got something that You've laid on my heart. I need to make sure that Lord, I've given You my heart on this, that You're directing all of my ways. Lord, I'll give You anything I have to get it accomplished. God, how do You want me to put it together?" And God will begin to open doors and put that thing together for us. And we have to realize that we have to give God His way and not our way. And the reason being is that at our strongest, we're still weak. At our wisest, we're still unwise. At our best, we are still bad. And at our holiest, we are still unholy. See, we have no choice but to give what we have to God and rely totally on Him. In the latter times, some things are going to be on us. And my friends, those things are already on us. We need to hold to the stuff. We need to support our pastor and get behind him. And folks, we have to put ourselves in a position that we are just surrendered to God. These times around us are wicked, evil times. And I get calls so often. Got a call this very week of a grandson of one of our great, great men of faith. That if I mention his name, everyone in here would know it. And this grandson's gone wayward. And they're looking at trying to see if maybe he can come into our home. And he might be too much for us. We don't normally take juvenile delinquent type children. We might have to get him in somewhere else. But it's so quickly and easily. That's all it took was one generation. You had this man that was greatly used of God all over the country and all over the world. And then his son and his grandson. And all it takes is one slip. That's all it takes to depart from that faith, giving heed to seducing spirits, doctrines of devils, and then the avalanche begins. And I've seen that in the lives of the children in our home. Sometimes we can go back several generations and find the patriarch of the faith, and somewhere it just slipped one little bit. And so I just want to encourage you today that, first of all, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, I'm telling you, you heard it today. You've seen it in the lives of these young people. It's the only answer to life's problems. It's the only way of heaven. It's the only way of eternity with God. Jesus said He's the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me. Aside from that, as a Christian, as a believer in Christ, selling ourselves out, walking with God, we'll never regret it. But those times we step away, we'll always regret those. And I just want to be an encouragement to you today to stick with the stuff. It's not always easy, not always popular, but to stick with the stuff that God has taught us in His Word. Let us pray today as we stand to our feet with our heads bowed and eyes closed.